The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha, Parshas Vayira, in Perek Chof Aleph. The Torah tells us, "Vashem pokad esoro kasher omar, omor vayas Hashem lesoro kasher diber." HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised. This is when the Malochim, the angels, came to visit Abraham. Actually, this promise was already from before, that Sora would bear a child, and so did it happen. Matava telet Sora laAbraham bein liskunav, lama eira sher diber esei elokim. Sarah conceived and she gave birth to a child, to Abraham, in his old age, and at the specific date that was promised. That was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was Pesach, 15th of Nisan. Vayikra Abraham Eshem b'nei ha'neilid lei Asher yolda lei Sora Yitzchok. And Abraham called his son that Sora gave birth to Yitzchok. Then it states, Vayomal Abraham es Yitzchok b'nai ben shmein ashomim kasher tziva yisei lukim. Abraham circumcised Yitzchok, his son, when he was 8 days, like Hashem had commanded. And then a few psukim later, it states, "Vayigdal ha'yad v'yigomal." The child grew up, and the simple meaning of "v'yigomal" means he was weaned. "Vayas Abraham ishte godel b'yayim higonel es Yitzchok," and Abraham made a great party on the day that Yitzchok was weaned. There's a number of things that we can learn from this pasuk, which I would like to dwell on this evening. Rashi tells us that the child grew up by Yigomal, the Seif Chav Daler Chodesh, after 24 months. He brings the Gemara in Gittin, the fine hay, where the Gemara says, the Gemara is not referring to this posuk, but the Gemara says that it discusses that how long should a woman nurse her child for. Different opinions, 18 months, 24 months. Rashi here brings the opinion of 24 months, which means that Sora nursed Yitzchok for 24 months. And also in the Medrash Rabbah states, Vayigdal ha'yelad vayigomal, that when he grew up and he no longer needed, or he would take the milk of his mother. Vayas Abraham mishte godol, and Abraham made a great party, v'yem higomel es Yitzchok, on that day that Yitzchok was weaned. Rashi tells us, and he brings this also from the Medrash Rabbah, it was a party, but Mishte Godol means it was a party for great people. Shehoyu Shom Gdeli Hador. He invited the greatest people of the generation. Shem, that was the son of Noach. Aver, his grandson. Shem was the king of Yerushalayim, and he was a great Talmud Chacham, and he had a yeshiva. And Aver, his grandson, also taught in the yeshiva. And this is where Yitzchok later on was to go study, the Avimelech. And Avimelech was the king of the Plishtim, of the Philistines. Abraham was a very great personality. He was considered a prince and a king. So he invited the greatest people. Generally, we do not find a custom of making a party on the day when a child is weaned. Perhaps then it was a custom. However, the Pirkei de Rav Lezer, the Medrash, which is Posuk Perechov Tesh, states Leikav Abraham Mikola Shetzivau. Abraham did not at all withhold anything which Hashem wanted or commanded him. When Yitzchok was born, when he was 8 days old, he brought him for the Bris Milah. As it states, Vayomal Abram es Yitzchok b'nei ben shmeinas yomim. Higishu l'mincha al gabi mezbeach. It was as someone bringing a child, someone bringing an offering to the altar. But also simcha u'mishte, and he made a great simcha and mishte. So the Pirkei de Reb Lozer learns that actually this party was not when he was weaned, 24 months, but it was on the 8th day, on the Bris Milah. Mikan omru hachomim, and from here the hachomim say, chayavodim lasei simcha u'mishte ba'es hayayim shizocha lomol es b'nai ki Avraham Avinu. That a person is obligated to make a great simcha and a party on that day when he has the schus to circumcise his son, like Avraham Avinu did. Shenema vayas Avraham ishta godol b'yem higom eles Yitzchok. As it states that Avraham made a great party on the day of Higomel, which the simple sense of Higomel means to wean as Yitzchok. We can ask from here firstly we see the Pirkei that Blazer seems to be learning differently. That is speaking on the 8th day, not 24 months later. But we can ask, what is the proof? What is the source to say that this is referring to the day of the Bris Milah? Tosfos in Perek de Reb Lezer de Mila, in Masechta Shabbos, right at the beginning of the Perek and of Kuf Lamed, Tosfos brings this medrash, but he adds something which seemingly we do not have in the text of the medrash. And that is that Higomel, if you take the word apart, there's a hey and a gimel and a mem lamed. He says if you darshan, if you expound on these letters, the hey is 5 and the gimel is 3, which adds up to 8, and mem lamed spells the word mol, to circumcise. So the medrash Pirkei de Reb Lezer here is expounding that from this word we learn that it was speaking on the 8th day. 5 and 3 is 8, and mol. This is when on the day he circumcised Yitzchok, on the 8th day. We do not have to say necessarily that this medrash might be arguing with the Medrash Rabbah. And perhaps this is also why they darshan like this, because if you look at the Pasuk, it says it twice. It says, Vayigdal hayeled vayigomal, that the child grew up and he was weaned. Now from the fact that it states Vayigdal, he grew up, so that infers that he was already grown. So that infers that he was weaned from his mother. And that's what the Medrash Rabbah says. Then it states in the same pasuk, Vayas Avraham Mishte Godel B'yom Higomel Es Yitzchok. A second time. It should have said merely Vayas Avraham Mishte Godel. And Avraham made a great party. But again it says B'yom Higomel Es Yitzchok on the day that he was Higomel. So it could be that the Medrash Rabbah is referring to the first Vayigdal Hayeled Vayigomel. While the Pirkei de Reb Lezer is referring to the second one, where it states that he made a great party on the day of the Higomel, and that's where we dashen the hay and the gimel and the mal, the 8th day of the circumcision. At any rate, from here, the Medrash says is a source that one is obligated to make a party, a suda, on a Bris Milah. A little more insight into this is because it's the prevalent custom, and actually it's brought in in Yoredeya. In Yoredeya, Simon Reisha Mechesi Yud Beis, it's brought. Nogu Lasa is Suda B'yem Hamilo. the custom is to make a nice party on the day of the Bris Milah. And that itself is something which needs explanation. Because Shabbos we make Sudas, the Gemara learns from the Pasuk. It says, by the Mon, Yom, three times. So we make three Sudas, and this is from the mitzvah of Tainuk Shabbos. Yantiv we make a Suda, because it says, V'samach t'b'chagecho. It's a mitzvah, it's a positive commandment to have Simcha on that day, because it's Yantiv, so we make a Suda. Chasna we make a Suda. It says, Shok to Chachomim, Al Takonis B'nai Yisrael. The Chachomim were very, very diligent in the honor of the daughters of Israel, and they wanted to see that they got married with kovod, with honor and dignity. Therefore, we make a nice wedding feast. But otherwise, we do not make a feast unless someone is accustomed to do that for every mitzvah he does. Which that itself, but with that itself is also a mitzvah. But we don't, every time we do a mitzvah, we don't make a feast. Yet we see the prevalent custom is that when it comes to a Bris Milah, we do make a very nice feast. And this source, this is what the Pirkei the Rebbe Elazar say, Mikan, from here we learn Chayav Odom, that a person is obligated. Mikan Omru Chachomim. The Chachomim taught that Chayav Odom Lasei Simcha Umishter, that a person should make a great feast on the day that he has the schus to circumcise his son, ki Avraham Avinu, like Avraham. Now to go into this a little further, because Avraham was not commanded in this. Kodesh Baruch Hu never asked for a party. He told Avraham to mal Yitzchok. That's all he asked from him. Who asked Avraham to make parties? And such a choshev, a party where he's inviting shame and aver, the dignity and the royalty. Yet Avraham insisted on making a party to celebrate, because to him this was a great, great celebration that he was going to have the Bris Milah. So he is the one who established this custom. Actually, we once asked the question, why did he wait for Yitzchok's Bris? Why didn't he do it on his own Bris? Last week's parsha, we learned where he did it on his own Bris. So on that, we would give a simple answer, because he wasn't physically capable, he was sick. When he had the Bris Milah, we see, even for 3 days he was sick. We see B'yem HaShlishi, on the third day, that's in the beginning of our parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him because he was sick, even 3 days later. But actually, I just recently saw another answer brought on that kasha, because the Pirkei the Rebbe Elazar says that Avraham was circumcised on Yom Kippur. His Bris Milah was on Yom Kippur, and therefore he didn't want to make a party for others. At any rate, this is what he made it. The Gemara expands on this. The Gemara in Masecht Shabbos, in the beginning of Pirkei the Rebbe Elazar de Mila, the Gemara says as follows. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Aimer. Rav Shimon Gamliel taught. Kol mitzvah shekibla aleihem besimcha. All mitzvahs which Klal Yisrael accepted b'simcha, kigain mila, like Bris Mila. And then it brings a posuk from David HaMelech, because David HaMelech said, Sosa nechi al imrasecha ki meitzei sholorov. Sosa nechi, I have great joy on your amira, on what you said to us. He's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In regard, ki meitzei sholorov, like finding great spoils. So a mitzvah which Klal Yisrael accepted b'simcha, edayin esin esa b'simcha. Then those mitzvahs we will find that they still do with a great simcha. We call mitzvah shekibla aleihem b'ktoto, but a mitzvah which they accepted begrudgingly and with quarrel and with complaints, kigain arayis, like the mitzvahs of arayis, the mitzvahs of marriages, who we are allowed to marry and who we are not allowed to marry. Where do we say see that? Because it says, "Diksi vayishma meisha so'am beichel mishpachesov." In Parshas Bahaleisecho, Perek Yud Aleph Posuk Yud, there was by the Mishleinanim, when they were complaining. They were complaining, they were in the desert, and they didn't have meat to eat, and so forth and so on. And then it states, Meisha heard that they were beicha, they were weeping, the mishpachesov, in regards to their families. The Gemara Darshins al iske mishpachesov, in regards to the laws of families. In other words, which families can you marry into, which you cannot. So referring, because one is not allowed to marry close relations. Edain eisin eisavektoto. These mitzvahs that they, when at the beginning, when they had accepted them, it was with begrudgingly and quarrel and complaints, so they still do it that way. Where do we see? The lekeksuba delirama by tigra. You'll never find a ksuba that there's not a problem with. In other words, what it means is that marriages always have some hitch to them. The ksuba refers in particular to the marriage settlement, but it refers in general that marriages, we find, do not come easily. Why is that? So the Gemara says, the Gemara relates that to the original Kabbalah, the original acceptance of those marriages. Klal Yisrael complained about it. And they were quarrelsome. And they begrudged about it. Therefore, they still keep the mitzvahs that way. But a mitzvah like Bila, which they accepted besimcha, they still do besimcha. This is what the Gemara brings. Taisvus adds two sources as to where do we see that Mila is besimcha. The Gemara brought it from the Posuk Sosa Neche Alim Rosecha. Taisva says that in Tilim, in Kapitel Vov, it states, the Kapitel there begins with Lamnatseach. Lamnaseach ben Neginais al Hashminis Mizmaladovi. And the Medrash, now there, Lamnaseach ben Neginais al Hashminis Mizmaladovi, Dovra Melech is using the word Lamnaseach, which is a shira, a song, ben Neginais, which also refers to another type of song, Mizmor, a zemar, also to another type of song, and he refers to Shminis, the eighth. So the Medrash Shochatev, and this capital says that this Dovra Melech wrote in honor of the Brish Mila. So we see he was full of song and praise. Again, we see there was Simcha. And then Taisus brings another source that by Brish Mila there was Simcha, and he brings from Pirkei Der Blezer, which we mentioned, by Avraham. Now, before we go into this further, we can ask the question. Well, first of all, there's a few things to try to understand here. One is, Gemara brings the Pasuk, Sosa Nechi Alim Rosecha, Kemetzi Sholor Rov, that I am full of joy on your Amira, on what you said to us. How do we know that this refers to Bris Mila? This Pasuk is in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Kuf Samach Beis. This Pasuk is where Dovra Melech praises the Torah with the whole alphabet. Eight psukim with the Aleph, eight with the Beis, eight with the Gimel. So in the scenes, one of the psukim is Osanechi. How do we know this refers to Bris Mila? Secondly, is why is it that Klal Yisrael always did Bris Mila B'Simcha, and when it came to the Arayis, to the laws of marriage, it was not besimcha, even at the beginning. Thirdly, why is it that a mitzvah that was accepted But simcha, we still do besimcha. And the same thing vice versa. Rashi explains that how do we know that this pasuk shoshanecha limrosecha refers to bris milah? Because imrosecha is written in the singular. Shoshanechi al imrosecha, and your amira, and your single, and your single word to us. It should have said al imrosecha, and all of your words to us. So he says we're referring to a singular commandment. And there was a singular commandment given before the rest of the commandments. And that was Bris Milah. Because Bris Milah was given before Matan Torah. All of the other commandments were given together on Har Sinai. But there was a singular, so it wasn't Imrosecha in the singular, it would be Imrosecha in the plural. But Bris Milah was given singular. That was given to Avraham Avinu here in our parshas, long before the giving of the Torah. So therefore from here we see that David HaMelech is referring to the Bris Milah, and he says Klal Yisrael has all types of joy from it. That's one interpretation. There's another interpretation that Rashi gives, and this is in Tehillim there, in on that posuk, Kapitel Kuf Yutes posuk Kuf Sumasamach Beis. Rashi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, it was with a dibor. When he gave the mitzvah of Milah to Avraham Avinu, it was with an amira. If we look, and we look in Parshas Yisro, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the whole Torah to Klal Yisrael, so there it states, right before the giving of the Torah, in Shmai Shchof, Posuk Aleph, Vaydaber Elakim Eis Kol Advorim Eile Lemor. Vaydaber. Hashem spoke all of these words, and then starts the Ten Commandments. Anechi Hashem Elakecho. So that's a dibur. By Avraham, where Hashem came, that's at the end of last week's parsha, and he told Avraham that he wants him to keep the Bris Milah. This is in Lech Lecha, Perek Yud Zayin Posuk Tes. It states, "Vayeme Elokim el Avraham, ba'ato es brisi tishmor, ato v'za'echo acharecho ledorosam." That Hashem said to Avraham with an amira, "You shall keep my bris, you and your children afterwards." What's the difference between a dibur and an amira? The Gemara says a dibur is loshen kosho. An amira is loshen rako. A dibur is strong talk. Amira is soft talk. For example, it states when Hashem came to Moshe and he told Moshe to tell the people, to prepare them for the giving of the Torah. So he says, Kosom aleve Yaakov, Saged, Kosom aleve Yaakov, Ela Noshim. He says, when you go to the women, speak to them softly. He says, women, you must speak to softly. Kosom aleve Yaakov, Saged livnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael, the men you could speak tough talk, harsh talk to. But Amira is soft. So it seems, for whatever reason, that the Bris Milah was proposed to Klal Yisrael, or commanded to Klal Yisrael, at least to Avraham, in a different way. Because this, the Taryag, the 613 mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vaydaber, he spoke straight and tough. But when it came to the Bris Milah, to Avraham, he said, Vayomer. So therefore we learn out that when David HaMelech said Sosa Nechi al Imrosecho, that we were full of joy on your Amira, it was referring to the exceptional mitzvah that was given with Amira, and that was Bris Milah. So that's the second interpretation of how we know that Posuk refers to that, and then Rashi brings in Tehillim. There's perhaps a third interpretation, which I once heard from my Rebbe, the Mordechai Gifter, Shniti should be well, And later on I found very similar to this in the Mashor, there in Masechta Shabbos. Not from the beginning of the Pasuk, but from the end of the Pasuk. Kimeitzei Sholol Rov. That David HaMelech said that this Mila he is overjoyed with, like someone who finds spoils. Sholol are spoils that you find, usually, for example, you conquer a city. So they walk into the city and they find all kind of wonderful things. Botim asher lebonisa, houses they never built and so forth. These are called spoils. Now why is Mila referred to as a spoil? Kemetzi sholol rov, David HaMelech said, it's like I found spoils. So my Rebbe said, because every mitzvah you have to work for. Bris Mila, by the time you've come to an intellectual maturity where you have some intelligence, you find that you already have it, like a metziah, like finding a lost article. It was given to you. You didn't have to work for it. That's why this mitzvah is referred to as a sholol, sholol rav. From there would be the proof that David HaMelech is referring to the Bris Mila. Mashal says similar, except he adds a different twist. He says that every mitzvah you have to constantly do. The mitzvah tefillin, every day, every time you want to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to put on the tefillin. Tzitzis, you have to constantly put on the tzitzis. Even mezuzah, you put it on. It'll last, but there's times where you'll have to put on another mezuzah, a different mezuzah. The Bris Mila, once it was done, it's forever. So therefore, a person looks at that mitzvah, kimeitzei sholol rov. It's there, he doesn't have to do anything. So therefore, the proof could be from the second part of the pasuk also. Incidentally, this that the Tosfos says also, that we find that there was simcha because of the lamnatzeach beneginais alashminis mizmal David. That is also in the Gemara in Menoches, not only in the Medrash Shochetov, and that's on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and it's a very interesting Gemara, and we'll come to that shortly. Now comes the question. All right, we've established that by Mila there was simcha. Why was there by Mila so much simcha? And at the same time we find that by the Arayas they had difficulty accepting that simcha. And here there's a very profound explanation from the Maral. In a number of places. One place is in the Agodas HaShasim Masechta Shabbos. The Mila, Bris Mila, is the Shlemus HaGuf. That's the perfection, an improvement and perfection of the person. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham in last week's Parsha, Be'isalek lefonai ve'yesomim, walk before me and you shall be complete with this mitzvah. A person is not considered total, in totality, in shlemus, a Jew, a Yisrael, without the Bris Mila. And the fact is, from the Bris Mila we learn the principle that with mitzvahs you can improve our nature. Because by nature, he is not born, he's born with the Ola, with the foreskin. And the mitzvah comes and improves on it. This gives a dimension of totality. When we say a dimension of totality, though, it's not necessarily a physical totality. Because we weren't commanded in the Bris Mila because it's healthier. Because if that would be the case, then it would be a mitzvah that would be given to all the nations of the world. Because health, all nations, that's Blechal Derech Eretz, all nations of the world have to keep themselves healthy. But it means that a spiritual dimension can come and perfect and even change the nature. Many have always said that there's a great health aspect in the Bris Mila. And because of that, there are non-Jews also that do it. Not necessarily so. See, not necessarily so. The fact is, I just recently, not long ago, read an article where there were top surgeons and pediatricians discussing this point. And many held there is no proof whatsoever, see, if there's any health benefit to it whatsoever. See. And this is what, this is not for physical health. This is a mitzvah. A mitzvah means it gives the person a higher dimension than the physical world. But what we see from here, that mitzvahs can come and improve on the physical nature. And this is an improvement, and an improvement of totality. And when a person gets something which is a shleimus of totality, this brings simcha. Just like we see to the contrary, that if a person loses something or he's lacking something, this all the time brings sadness. It can bring, heaven forbid, avelus and mourning and so forth. And incidentally, this shleimus is not just a temporary shleimus. This shleimus, this totality, is placed in the person forever. And this is why the Maral brings that one of the brochas that we make right immediately after the Bris Mila is Chek B'She'erai Som. It's called a chok, that we place a chok in our children. A chok is something which is never lost, always there. See, chukim achek is something which, chukim chokakti, which is a pillar which always remains. And this is a shleimus which always remains in the individual. With this we understand now what we brought before, and it's a Gemara which I mentioned in Menachos with Dovra Melech. The Gemara brings, it's on, Mora brings on Daf Mem Gimel Omed Beis in Menachos. Tona Rabbonin, Chavivin Yisrael, how dear is Yisrael to Hashem, Shesivavon HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounded them with mitzvahs. How did he surround them with mitzvahs? Tfilim B'Roshehen U'tfilim B'Zereisehen. The tefillin that we put on our heads, the tefillin that we put on our arms, tzitzis bibigdehen, the tzitzis that we put on our clothing, or mezuzahs lepischehen, and mezuzahs that we put on our homes. Va'aleam omar David, and this is what David HaMelech said. David HaMelech said, in it's also in Kapitel Kuf Yutes, Posuk Kuf Samach Dalet, Sheva bayayim hilauticho al mishpatei tzidkecho. That I will praise you every day on seven on your just laws. What does it refer to, seven? So Rashi explains, a person is surrounded with mitzvahs, seven mitzvahs. The tefillin is two. They are two. The tefillin of the head and the tefillin of the arm. He says, tzitzis, there's four, one on each corner. That's six. And mezuzah, seven. So he's surrounded from seven points, and therefore David HaMelech said, Sheva bayayim hilalticho al mishpatei tzidkecho. I praise you with seven. U'b'shoah, shenichnas David lebeis hamerchatz, But when David went into the Beis HaMerchetz, to the bathhouse, Ro'atzmei Emer Orum, and he saw that he was standing with no clothing, Omar Eili She'emaid Orum Bele Mitzvus, he says, oi, then I have no mitzvahs. No longer does the person have the tefillin, or the tzitzis, or the mezuzahs. On a merchatz, you don't put a mezuzah. So he says, I'm standing without mitzvahs. Kiven sheniskar b'milo shebesorei. But when he remembered that he had the bris milah in his flesh, nishyash v'daitoi, he settled down, he was comforted. La'acha sheyotzo, after he went out of the Beis HaMerchetz, Omar aleho shira, he's saying a song in honor of the bris milah. And that's what it states, Lamnatzeach al hashminis mizma ledovid al milo shenitna bishmini. Then he wrote the capital Tilim, Lamnatzeach al hashminis. Shminis is eight, milo, which is given on the eighth day. So what the Gemara is explaining to us is, first David HaMelech would praise Sheva, say seven, because he says, how fortunate is a person who's always surrounded by mitzvahs. What did he mean? He meant, how fortunate is Israel that is always dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They never leave him. Because, and they are surrounded from seven sides. From the tefillin Shebereishai, the tefillin Shebezreya, the four tzitzis, and the mezuzahs al pischai. So he says, how fortunate is a person that he cannot be removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because wherever he goes, he's surrounded on seven sides, and he's mechubar, he's connected, he's bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, Sheva al hilalticho, al mishpatei tzidkecho, I praise you for these seven mitzvahs. Then one day it occurred to him, he had a kasha. He's saying, what he's saying is not true. Because what do you mean that you cannot remove yourself, the link that you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You go into the Beis HaMerchetz. There's no tefillin Shebereishai, there's no tefillin Shebezreya, there are no tzitzis, there's no mezuzah. This means that a person has a hasorah, a person can be removed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Ben Yisrael. And he said, oi, oru min ha-mitzvahs. Then it occurred to him, no, there's a mitzvah that's greater than all of the others. And that's the Shminis. That's the mitzvah that was given on the eighth day. That, no matter where the person is, he never breaks his tie with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's always with him. So when he was Yotzer, when he went out of the Beis HaMerchatz, he sang a new Shira, Lamnatzeach b'neginais al Hashminis mizma ledovid. A new Shira on the Bris Milah. This is what the Gemara explains. And this is why the Maral says it's called a chok. A chok is something which you cannot destroy. It's always there. It's not never can be removed. Chek bipsora, a chok that was placed in the flesh. Therefore, this shlemus, tamimus, this totality that was given to Israel, and this totality that was given to them, which gives them a dveikus, a bant HaKadosh Baruch Hu always, this brings simcha, brings joy. And that's why Abraham was overwhelmed with the mitzvah. And that's why David was overwhelmed with the mitzvah. So that's why Abraham went and he wanted to celebrate. So he made a big party. And David went and he wanted to celebrate. So he wrote a new Shira. And that's what he meant. So sonehi ali barsecho. Now, but why? So why weren't they so happy? Let's say the same thing on the mitzvah of Arayis. Kodesh Baruch Hu told them all the laws of Arayis, we should say the same thing. Then the Maral says, really Arayis is just the opposite. Just the opposite of the Bris Milah. Why? Because This is a person gets married. This is known as Shlemus. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Zohar Nakeva by Yikram Odom. He only called him Odom after both of them were together, Zohar and Nakeva. And this is the totality of man. But the Arayas came to limit it. The mitzvahs of Arayas came to tell us not to marry this one and not to marry that one. It actually was a prisha min ashlemus. Arayas is called prisha, to be perish min ha-erva. This means to separate yourself. So Arayas was actually in especially in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, the breaking of totality. Before they had married sisters or daughters or aunts or others. Now we were getting the mitzvahs. Well, I must qualify, they were only allowed to marry before what the Bnei Neach. See, Neach was given a few arayas also he could marry, but it was very limited. So they were married to relatives, and that was in their eyes shlemus, and now we're commanded prisha, abstain, remove ourselves, distance ourselves. The whole essence of arayas is to distance oneself from this one and that one and this one. This is why it states Al Kein Yazov Ish Es Ovivimoy. When the Parsha of Arayas, when these dinim were given to Adam Arishan, to the first man, it was given the Loshen Aziva. Therefore, a person should forsake his father and mother. V'davak b'ishta, and then we learn out that he has to forsake certain people. This is what Arayas is. And actually, in their eyes, Klal Yisrael, it wasn't like we might say, the Torah commanded us to distance ourselves and to forsake ourselves from those that do not make good marriages, which is not so bad. Not so. The Maral says that as far as nature is concerned, as far as human intelligence and intellect is concerned, it's just to the contrary. Had the Torah not been given, then we would have selected zivugim, we would have selected wives and husbands from the closest relatives. He says the seichel is mechayev, the intelligence and the intellect dictates that one should rather cleave to a close relative than a total stranger. And therefore, this is what the nature would have dictated. So the Parsha of Arayas came to tell them to remove themselves from such unions. This is contrary to the nature of man. And therefore, this was very difficult for them. And therefore, this brought a bechia, by yifku, that they wept and they grumbled. Not a simcha. We could ask a question, though, that actually this posuk, which we are quoting, by yifku, that they wept, this is in Parshas Bahalei Secha, and this is in Bamidbor Yud Aleph Posuk Yud. Vayishma Meshe Son Bechel Mishpechesov. Meshe heard the nation weeping in reference to their families. Ish lepesach olay, everyone by the opening of his tent. Vayicharav Hashem Aid Veine Meshe Ro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu became very angry. Actually, where is this posuk written? It's not written by the Arayas. It's not written by the command of the laws of the marriages. It's written here where they said Zochanu es adogo ashenechem mitzrayim chinom miyach elena bosor, where they were complaining that all the good things they had to eat in Egypt and now they're in the desert and they don't have what to eat except the mon. So why does the Chazal darshan this, that here they're grumbling about the arayas? The answer is, the Maral gives, is because two answers. The simple answer is when a person grumbles, it's a very good principle. When a person grumbles over a tzora, he likes to make mention and grumble over all of his tzoras. And he brings up other problems also. So here, when they were complaining, we don't have fish to eat, and we don't have meat to eat, and so forth and so on, so they threw in also, and look, we can't even marry who we want anymore. Actually, we find that was even by Yaakov Avinu, because when Yaakov came along and he said they wanted to take Binyamin back to Egypt, or this one, or that one, he says, look at all the tzoras I've had. I'll have tzoras from Binyamin, I had tzoras from Esav, I had tzoras from Lovan, I had tzoras with Rachel, I had tzoras with Shimon, and he listed off all the tzoras. So, it's not speaking about that, but they were complaining. So a person throws in all the complaints, all the difficulties. Okay, that would be Lefi Pashtus. But the Maral says, really, there's an emek, there's a depth in this. He says, really, it's Choramachta, it's one thing. Why? What were they grumbling about? They were grumbling about that they didn't have to eat what they wanted, what they couldn't eat, what they wanted to eat. Actually, the Chazal asked, what do you mean? They said, look what we ate, had in Egypt, and now we're in the desert and we can't have it. I mean, they had in Egypt so good. Pottery wouldn't even give them straw to make bricks with, so he gave them steaks. They had nothing to eat in Egypt. What were they complaining about? So it says, chinom min ha-mitzvus. They were complaining the same thing. They said, in Egypt, whatever we could get to eat, we could eat without mitzvus. We didn't have to bother to see if this was kosher, or this was milchiks, or this was fleishiks, or netilas shadayim, or birches hamozen. Chinom min ha-mitzvus. Now you bring us to this desert, all of a sudden we got so many mitzvus we can't turn around. Can't do anything without first a shulchan aruch. See, this is what they were complaining about. We're restricted to what we can eat and how we can eat it. Now the Maral says this is the same thing. It says mitzad hateva, from this aspect of the physical world, the physical nature, or even the plain intelligence that's given to man. What he wants, he should be able to eat. You have a desire for something. Nature says fulfill it. Right. Fulfill your desires. Live by your instincts. Now the Torah is giving us mitzvahs. Mitzvahs come to tell a person to not to live by his instincts, to improve on his instincts. You can listen to your instincts, but the instincts of a person is compared to that of a person's horse or donkey. You can listen to your horse and your donkey, but you must remember that you're the master, he's not the master. See? The final decision is yours, not his. You lead him where you want to go. You don't let him lead you where you want to go, otherwise you can end up in good trouble. And this was the same thing with our eyes. Right? It was the nature, if we go according to the level of the nature, to the contrary, one should take for a zivuk, for a mate, that with the one he wants, or that the human intelligence dictates. If it's a sister, a daughter, an aunt, why not? Now the Torah comes and says, no, that's at the level of the teva, of the nature, but not at the level of the spiritual dimension that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to you. And you have to rule, and you have to govern, and you have to discipline. So this was all the same parsha. So they complained. That's why they said, all of a sudden, you tie our hands and our feet. No longer can we eat what we want. And no longer we can eat when we want and how we want. And no longer can we marry who we want. So that's how it came into that parsha. So therefore, this they accepted with grumbling. The Gemara brings in Perakot Lezer de Mila and Daf Kuf Lamed and Shabbos, the Gemara brings further. It says as follows. Tanya Reb Shimon Lezer Aymer. Kol mitzvah shemosru Yisrael atzman aleihen lemisa b'shas gzeres ha-malchus. Every mitzvah which a kodesh bo, which every mitzvah which at the time of gzeres ha-malchus, that means when the nation stood up against us and decreed that we are not allowed to do certain mitzvahs, if we were prepared to give our lives for it, like we were for Aveda Zora, idolatry and Mila, during the time of the decrees of the Greeks, of the Romans, when it came to Aveda Zora, idolatry, no, Jews gave their lives before. And even Bris Mila, they were prepared to risk their lives to keep the Bris Mila. You will find that these mitzvahs are still strong and steadfast by Klal Yisrael. But every mitzvah, that when it came to the times of the Shemad, when the nations decreed that we are not allowed to keep them, for example, and we did not keep them, for example, tefillin, edayin merufa biyodim. And you'll find that this mitzvah is still very weak by us. Mora brings cases that when they decreed we should not put on tefillin, so we didn't put on tefillin. Now, actually what the Gemara is saying is something very, very interesting. You'll find, very seldom will you find a Jew who goes and serves idolatry. See, that is something which is very rare. Mainstream of Judaism worldwide will not serve idolatry. So the mitzvah of idolatry, the mitzvah not to serve idolatry, is steadfast by Klal Yisrael. Mila, very rarely will you find a Jew that didn't have a bris mila, where he was able to have one. Mainstream of world Judaism, a son is 8 days old, you give him a bris mila. That is muksekes, steadfast by Klal Yisrael. Come to other mitzvahs like tefillin. Tefillin, the 95% of world Jewry puts on tefillin. To the contrary. So the Chazal want to know, why is it that some mitzvahs are muksekes, they are never lost from Klal Yisrael. Other mitzvahs are, you'll only find it by a minority. So it says, because those mitzvahs that our fathers were prepared to give their lives on, they remain by us forever. And that was Mila and Aveda Zora, for example. And those mitzvahs that they want, that you'll find are weak by us. Now the Maral asks, why is it that those certain mitzvahs they gave their lives on and certain mitzvahs they didn't? He says, Aveda Zora, they gave their lives on, because a person that, we have a bond to Hashem. A person that serves Aveda Zora, there he's breaking that bond entirely. And he's going into the Shus Acher. He goes into another, under another king, under another sovereignty. And a Jew is not prepared to break his bond totally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why the Chazal say that kol mi shever aveda zora kilo kofar b'chol ha-teira kula. Someone who serves aveda zora, that's like denying the entire Torah. So that's why on aveda zora they were prepared to give their lives, which they did, rather than to do that. Why by bris mila? Also because of what we said. Because bris mila is the greatest dveikus, it's the greatest bond of the mitzvahs that a person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Dovid HaMelech said, I praise on 7, but on the 8th is even greater, because the others can break. But this is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in you forever and is always there. And it's called a bris. And a bris is a covenant between Beini uBeinichem. And it's a covenant which is irremovable. Not only is it a bris, but it says nich gedele mila shenichrasa yudgimel brisis aleho. This is in Masechta Nedarim. How great is the bris mila that in the parsha of end of last week, Lech Lecha, 13 times is mentioned the word bris. 13 times HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this is a covenant. So therefore, this is so strong that Klal Yisrael are not prepared to break it so easily, to the point where they even gave their lives on. Tefillin, on the other hand, tefillin is something which is of a very high level, but it's a madrega gdela. It's a level that you have to stretch for. It states that the madrega of tefillin, the nations will see shenikra shem Hashem aleho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is on you. We put the tefillin on our heads, and in the tefillin, in the parshas and tefillin, is written Hashem's name. But to give you an example, there is nothing that we ever put on our body that is kodosh, with the exception of the tefillin. It's kedusha. For example, tzitzis are not kodosh. You can go into the bathhouse with tzitzis. And same with everything else. Tefillin you cannot. That's why the Gemara says tefillin srichi guf noki. By tefillin a person has to be very careful how he wears them and when he wears them. It's like having a sefer Torah on your head. So this is a great level. For even for Klal Yisro, where the Shem Hashem is on the person. And because it's such a great level, it's easy to lose. Because it's such a high level. And it's beyond the person. The person has to constantly stretch to fulfill it. It's easy to lose. So therefore, when it was threatened, it was lost. But Aveir Zora, which is the actual bond of Klal Yisrael with Hashem, or the Bris Milah. No, that was a chayk. That was immovable. And therefore, even when it was threatened, they weren't prepared to give their lives on it. This is why we find that it's a dying muhsekes. From all of this, we can learn a great principle. And that is how important it is that a person must accept a decree which comes his way with simcha and tev lev. Because these were not easy mitzvahs. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham the mitzvah of Bris Milah, this was not just an easy party. It wasn't the party. He didn't tell him to make the party. The fact is, Abraham was worried. Also, he was concerned. What will the people say like this? Here you take a little child, and you cut him, you make an injury, you chevel begufay. Or when he gave it to Abraham, who was so old, Ishmael, these are not from the easy mitzvahs. And easily Abraham could have complained, and could have grumbled. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? He wants me to take myself or to take an 8-day-old child and make an injury in him, cut him with blood. Yet Abraham easily could have said that. Yet Abraham said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. He gives us mitzvahs for our good, not for his good. And he was sameach in it. And because of that, you see that for generations it brought simcha to Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, when the Arayis came, they didn't have to look at the difficulties. They could have said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sanctifying Klal Yisrael. He doesn't want us to be like the nations of the world. He wants us to marry just particular people. Particularly people in regards to relationships. He's purifying us. And they could have been Mali Simcha, full of Simcha. Yet they chose to look at the difficulty of it. And they grumbled. And they grumbled. And they complained. And they said, look what's happening now. No longer can I marry this one or that one or this one. Look what it did to Klal Yisrael. The lack of ksuba, the leirama by Tigro.
Because of that, there's a curse on Klal Yisrael forever. The lek ksuba de le rabba betikra. That the Gemara says it's impossible that there should be a chasana that goes through smoothly without machlekes and quarrel. Why? Because this is how they accepted it. And the same thing that you see when Klal Yisrael was prepared in the time of the decrees of the Goyim, that no, we will not give up this mitzvah. This became a pillar of strength and insurance policy for their children ever after, where they won't give up that mitzvah. I remember once someone talking, he says, you go to the most non-frumous people and they have a bris milah. They keep nothing but bris milah they keep. Why is this? This is the Gemara says. Because our fathers were ready to give their lives on it, it remained forever. Or a Veda's order. But another mitzvah is that they weren't prepared to do that. Roth Libiotum becomes very weak. You find it by some, and you don't find it by many. So you see from here a great limud, a great lesson in the Tchilas HaKabbalah, that when something is given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to us it looks difficult, and we should either grumble about it, or we're just parva about it, or we can be full of simcha, or we can just do it, or put all of our keches, all of our power in it, we see the difference it makes. Called mitzvahs, shekiblu b'simcha edai naisim b'simcha. We still do it b'simcha. They're called mitzvahs shekiblu b'katoto, and every mitzvah that they accepted begrudgingly, they still do it with quarrels and begrudging. They had machlekes then; it's still machlekes now. Called mitzvahs shemosru atzmon al zeh. If they were prepared to give their lives on it, they die mukseches. So it will never leave Klal Yisrael. Other mitzvahs that they weren't prepared, no, roughly be there. You'll have to look to find them. Actually, Ad Kedei Kach, where there's an interesting Gemara in Psochim, which we will conclude with. And the Gemara brings in Psochim and Daf Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. It states, Mora brings, says, Dorish Rav Avira, Zimna Momale Mishmeida Rav, the Rav Ami, Zimna Momale Mishmeida Rav Asi. Rav Avira used to say, sometimes he would say it in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. It wasn't sure who said it originally. Maidiksi Vayigdala Yelet Vayigomel. This it quotes Ar Posuk, that the lad grew up and he was weaned. Vayas Avram Mishte Godel B'yem Higomel Eshitzchok, and he made a great party, Avraham, on the day that he weaned Yitzchok. So the Gemara darshins Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'aseh Yesud LaTzadikim B'yem Shigomel Chaz B'yem Shigmol Chazdoi L'Zareh Shel Yitzchok. The word Gomel has two meanings. There's the one meaning we brought, which means to wean, but it has another meaning also, to be gemel chesed, to bestow upon others. So the Gemara darshins from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a great suda for the righteous when he comes to be gemel chesed, when he comes to bestow kindliness, not to Yitzchok, but Lezareh Shel Yitzchok, to the seed of Yitzchok. And this is referring to the great Suda, Losi Lavei. And then the Gemara goes into that after they eat and they drink, comes the Shiloh who should bench. First they give the Keshel Barachat Abraham, and he doesn't want to, and so forth. Now, the Gemara is learning this from the same Posuk. I saw from the Torah Tamima, but he gives perhaps a remes. What is the remes? Where does the Gemara have license to darshan this? Because again, in the Pasuk is written, it states, "Vayigdal hayeled vayigomel," and "Vayas Abraham mishte godl biyem higomel Yitzchok." It's not said Yitzchok. It said, "Vayigdal hayeled vayigomel," "Vayas Abraham mishte godl." So the Miri said, either way you want to learn, if the second Igomel is going on when he was weaned, or if it's going on when he was had the Bris Milah, but I say him, because we're referring to Yitzchok. So there's an extra Yitzchok there. So the Gemara darshans that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's going to be another party for Yitzchok. And this is the Zareh Shel Yitzchok, the seed of Yitzchok. And this will be the Suda Losi Lovai, the Suda in the world to come. Now the Maral explains, this is in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael, what is this party all about? In the world to come, there'll be a party, Eichling Vishesing, we'll eat and drink and so forth and so on. What is it all about? So he says this is referring to, not referring to a physical Suda, this is referring to the Matan Schorim. It'll be time now for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give out the rewards. He says, why Zarel Shel Yitzchok? He says, in particular, it's referring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give out rewards for all of the suffering that Klal Yisrael had to suffer in this world. Yitzchok was specifically, was Midas Hadin. And that will be the great Simcha. Now it's very good, according to that, why the Gemara dashes it from this Pasuk. Because Milah, Bris Milah, is not an easy mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of suffering. It's a mitzvah. It's probably almost the only mitzvah like that, where one has to inflict a physical injury upon himself or upon his child. And Avraham, in this Pasuk, is where we learn he was Makabel Besimcha. He could have said, what kind of mitzvah are you giving me? This is what I need. And so forth and so on. Now, Vayas Avraham, Mishta Godel, he accepted it with a great Simcha. And therefore, from here we learn another such halacha. That there'll be a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, Klal Yisrael has suffered enough. And all of this suffering that the tzaddikim, the righteous, accepted was besimcha. It states that the midas of the tzaddikim are is mekablin yisurin, v'sheiskin, that they accept the difficulties of the times and they keep quiet, they don't complain. Or mekablim yisurim ba'avo, or even a greater level, where not only they're silent, but with love they accept the yisurim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the difficulties. These are the tzaddikim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I have to make a mishta for them. And this source can go back to Abraham, where Abraham accepted this suffering. Not only did he accept it, and not only did he do it, and not only he did it silently, without complaint. See, not only he did it without complaint, but he did it with a great simcha. So from here will be the source that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La'aseis Suda, L'tzadikim La'aseh Lovai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather all of his tzadikim that accepted all of the suffering of the world. And it will be time now for the Kibbutz Schar to give out the rewards. And that will be the reward. He will make a great simcha for them. These are some of the principles in halachas that we learn in regards to the posuk Vayigdal ha'yeled vayigomel vayas Avraham mishte godel b'yayim higomel es Yitzchok.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.